Radio Daily for halfway day. That's right. We're getting closer each year and every year moment. Each year? I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. Sorry. I'm tired. I've dramatically cut down on caffeine, but we don't have to talk about that now. Welcome to the first day of May. May Day, as some people call it, but be careful. People might try to come rescue you, unless that's what you're into. We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com, or should I say, because of crazy scheduling constraints, I have to tell you that I am the only one here, the wonderful Billy Flynn. But that's all right. We've been doing this a while. I think we can handle it. On this date in 1543, Copernicus circulates the Little Commentary, which demonstrates the heliocentricity of the solar system, and people walked around yelling at him, "No, you're bad!" 1753, Swedish botanist and explorer Carlos Linnaeus publishes the first editions of his two-volume work, Species Plantarum, in which he systematically names plants. That's a green one. S. Brown. 1849, a telegraph register is patented by Samuel F.B. Morse, who went on to do other things. 1869, a horse is reportedly killed by a meteorite near New Concord, Ohio, but I think that's how Comet the Superhorse came into being. 1884, construction begins on the first skyscraper in the United States on the corner of Adams and LaSalle in Chicago, Illinois. Once completed, the building will stand 10 stories tall, housing the Home Insurance Company of New York. 1888, Nikola Tesla received several patents relating to the alternating current, synchronous motor, alternating current transmission, induction, magnetic motor, and electricity distribution system, all of which should have been used over Edison's ideas. 1921, the first successful marine radio navigation beacon in the U.S. goes into service. 1930, the name of the dwarf planet Pluto was decided by the staff of the Lowell Observatory is officially announced. See? It was always a dwarf planet. 1947, the first U.S. radar developed for commercial and private planes by the Hughes Aircraft Corporation. It's demonstrated aboard a Trans World Airlines TWA airplane in Culver City. 1949, Gerard Cuvier discovers Nereid, the second satellite of Neptune. 1958, news of the discovery of the Van Allen radiation belts that surround Earth is published by the Washington Evening Star. 61, the first episode of Otsutsuki Manga Calendar, the world's first anime series, is broadcast, and that explains why Jason's dressed the way he is today. 1964, at about 4 a.m., mathematicians John Kimmy and Thomas Kurtz run the very first program written in BASIC, Beginner's All-Purpose Symbolic Construction Code. It means something, launching the Dartmouth Timesharing System at Dartmouth College. So wait, the first program was for a time clock? 1965, the Soviet Union launches the Luna 5 spacecraft on a mission to the moon! 1969, the integrated circuit manufacturer AMD is founded by Jerry Sanders and seven former employees of Morgan Fairchild Semiconductor. Yeah, that's the ticket. 1984, video game developer Quicksilver Software is founded in Irvine, California by three former Mattel Electronics programmers, and they showed them. 1991, Bantam Spectra releases the Star Wars novel Heir to the Empire by Timothy Zahn as a hardcover, the first book in a trilogy of novels known as the Thrawn Trilogy. Oh my god, so good, and that should be the expanded universe always. In 92, following a 10-week trial, a San Francisco District Court jury finds Nintendo's licensing program has not financially harmed Atari after less than 4 days of deliberation. Atari, of course, alleged Nintendo illegally attempted to monopolize the United States video game market in the late 80s. Nope, they just had better games. 1995, Midway Amusement Games releases Mortal Kombat 3 version 2.0 to arcades in the U.S. 97, Bandai releases the Tamagotchi in the U.S. for the first time, and you killed it 2 hours later. 2001, McGraw-Hill publishes the Star Trek novel Avatar by S.T. Perry. The novel picks up the story of Deep Space Nine exactly where the TV series ended. So if you want to know why they kept going and you haven't seen the documentary yet, that's a good place. 2002, hundreds of internet radio stations observe a day of silence to protest a proposed song royalty rate increase in the U.S. that would target only internet broadcasters, or as it was known, a day on the internet. 2007, Ace Books releases the fantasy novel Altogether Dead as a hardcover, the seventh in the Southern Vampire Mystery series. It's notable for being the first major fiction novel to incorporate the real-life Hurricane Katrina disaster into its story. And the author's like, come on, it's a good book, remember that? Birthdays, Jamie Dornan is 37 from Once Upon a Time, 50 Shades, Robin Hood. James Badge Dale, 41, from 24, Iron Man 3, World War Z, and The Lone Ranger. Julie Benz is 47, from Jawbreaker, Saw 5, she was Darla on Buffy and Angel, Punisher, Warzone, Dexter, No Ordinary Family, and Defiance. Marilyn Millian is 58, still serving justice the way it should be, the People's Court, the only TV court show anyone should be watching. Phil Foglio is 63, a Hugo Award-winning artist. You own magic cards that he drew, along with Katja Foglio, creator of Girl Genius. Joanna Lumley is 74 on Her Majesty's Secret Service, The New Avengers, Trail of the Pink Panther, Curse of the Pink Panther, Absolutely Fabulous, Paddington 2, and the first female doctor in the Doctor Who saga. Look it up. Uma Stubbs is 82 from The Worst Witch series, Mrs. Hudson in Sherlock. No longer with us, born in the state in 1864, Anna Jarvis, an American founder of Mother's Day. 1910, J. Allen Hynek, American astronomer and UFOologist, created that term, worked on Project Sign, Project Grudge, and Project Blue Book that you can currently watch on the History Channel, I believe, with Littlefinger doing a damn fine job. 1918, Jack Parr from The Tonight Show. 1919, Dan O'Herlihy, the 62 version of Cabinet of Dr. Caligari, The Last Starfighter, Halloween 3, Twin Peaks, and RoboCop. 1925, Scott Carpenter, the second and seventh American in space. Well, tonight as you're flipping the channels on CBS, you'll find Awkward on A New Survivor, Amazing Race, and SEAL Team. ABC, rerun of Goldberg's, Schooled, Modern Family, Single Parents, and an unexpected murder shocks everyone on the team on A New Whiskey Cavalier. NBC, tonight it's the 2019 Billboard Music Awards, because, you know, you gotta have those. Fox, it's A New Empire and Star. Over on the CW, Jughead and Betty's plan to face the Gargoyle King takes an unforeseen turn on A New Riverdale and A New Jane the Virgin. Freeform, Mona investigates who left her a mysterious message on Pretty Little Liars, The Perfectionist. FX, when Baron Afadis awakens from his slumber, he demands to experience the wonders of the new world and wants to go clubbing on A New What We Do in the Shadows. FXX has Sing! FXM has Fight Club, which I shouldn't have told you about, and I shouldn't tell you that it's on again later. IFC, Brockmire finds himself infatuated with Matt Hardesty's nurse on A New Brockmire. Hello, nurse! Paramount will be showing Battleship because you have to. There's good movies Paramount has, and they'll only let the Paramount Network show them if they show Battleship every now and again. Sci-Fi Channel, Happy goes beyond the imaginary friend zone, ha ha ha, on A New Happy. That really kind of creeps me out. I don't want to know what that is. TNT, it's NBA playoffs. Science Channel, Extreme Railroads, Episode 4, on A New Impossible Engineering. VH1, Free Coats on A New Black Ink Crew, but we're going to be watching the Lifetime Movie Networks. A relationship therapist with a call-in radio show leaves her job when a female caller commits suicide on air, but she begins to uncover secrets and lies when she returns a year later, and a mysterious caller identifies herself as the deceased girl. Georgina Haig and John Ralston star in When Murder Calls.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what soap opera's Billy Flynn is doing today. It's your Days of Our Lives Chad update.
Chad and Abby have to abruptly end their honeymoon because of a work crisis. I guess HR found out about that hot or not calendar that was going around. Stefan smooths over his troubles with the workers on the rig and hires both Eric and Sonny, which Chad does not like in the slightest. He worried they're going to tell him about the special sauce. Abby's having problems adjusting to life as a wealthy woman, made especially challenging by the imperious Majordomo JJ. I also had to look up what Majordomo was. It has nothing to do with Mr. Roboto. Eric and Nicole are also having difficulty starting their new life. Ben and Sierra got negotiations of their own. Look, Ben's like, I'm willing to help Chad out of his problems, but Sierra has to marry Tripp. And I'm sure they make sense to somebody, but not me. Hashtag Chabby. Forever.
You got mail, baby.
Indeed we do. Hi, geeks. I still have no idea on what shows Chabby have been hanging out on. I missed out on most TV from about 1975 through 1992, and by then I was no longer in the habit. I don't think you can choose a show that I can figure out.
That sounds like a challenge, sir.
But onto the episode I just heard. Before I have to start work today, and the stinger, who is the male British actor who is playing the fake anthropology professor, and what is the show? It sounds like one I might enjoy. Oh, that's John Oliver from Community, which was a fantastic little moment. And the show, as you're asking now, is Community. It sounds like one I might enjoy. You will, just don't watch the last season. Well, I have to go to work now. Thanks for keeping me going. That is from Bill. Well, Bill, you're more than welcome, and thank you for listening and keeping us going. If you'd like to drop a note and tell us about all kinds of things or ask us about stingers or tell us where Chad and Abby are this week, you think, by all means, send a note to podcast@geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, you can express all of those thoughts that we could hear in your lovely voice by dialing
510-GRD-CROW.
Anthropology.
Do you like movies? Well, let me make you an offer that you can't refuse.
Have you ever found yourself standing at the local Cineplex with that smell of freshly buttered popcorn wafting through your nostrils, wondering if that new Hugh Jackman movie is really worth your time? Or have you ever lamented about that time you spent scouring the vast expanse of the internet for movie and DVD release dates when, let's be honest, you'd rather be leveling up your Troll Hunter, working on the Great American Novel, or even watching kitten videos? Oh yes, I said kitten videos. I will do the work for you. All I ask is 15 to 30 minutes of your time every Tuesday. My name is Michael Faulkner, and every Tuesday is showtime at the weekly Podioplex, your audio guide to what's new at the box office, how the top 10 fared over the weekend, and what's coming to your home theater on DVD and Blu-ray. You can find the weekly Podioplex on the Chronic Rift Network at www.chronicrift.com, along with a plethora of other podcasts that explore the culture in pop culture. The weekly Podioplex, brought to you by the Chronic Rift. Thanks for listening. We'll see you at the theater.
That's a wrap!
Hi everyone, this is Ken Mader with the film Displacement, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
Indeed you are. And if you've not seen Displacement, you really should. You really, really should.
Actually, I'm looking for a Batman number 14.
That's a very serious book, man.
That's right, serious, not so serious. They're all available today at your local neighborhood comic shop. From DC Comics, Batman, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3, number 1 of 6. They're making a movie out of the first one. Deceased. I see DC with ease at the end. Oh, God. 1 of 6. Young Justice, number 5. Then Lex Luthor and the Legion of Doom conspire with cosmic gods, bending mankind towards a dark destiny. Elsewhere, the scourge of Leviathan spreads unchecked, seizing power in every corner of the world, and all the while, the Batman who laughs busies himself in the shadows, aligned with no one yet with sinister plans for all. The carnage starts here as the bad guys take center stage, and our heroes will fail us. In DC's Year of the Villain, number 1. Over at Marvel, Cosmic Ghost Rider destroys the Marvel history, number 3 of 6. Star Wars Age of Republic, Han Solo, number 1. War of the Realms, number 3 of 6. And the most savage, most unkillable team of characters in the Marvel Universe is assembled. Wolverine, Venom, Elektra, Punisher, and in their midst, Conan the Barbarian. He's returned to the Marvel Universe, and his new adventures begin right now. What is the City of Sickles? Who is the Marrow God? How is the Hand involved? The roughest and most dangerous characters rumble through this new title, starting with Conan vs. Wolverine? Nuff said. And Savage Avengers, number 1. From Boom Studios, it's Giant Days, number 50. Jim Henson's Beneath the Dark Crystal, number 9 of 12. Rocco's Modern Afterlife, 2 of 4. Over at Dynamite Entertainment, Barbarella, Deja Thoris, number 3. Battlestar Galactica, Twilight Command, 2 of 5. Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, number 5. And Steve Austin gets hit by lightning. That'd kill anybody else, but for a broken down and battery-depleted former astronaut turned cyborg secret agent in Japan desperate to save the world, kinda like Steve guy? Well, that's just what the doctor ordered. And $6 Million Man, number 3 of 5. From IDW Publishing, Goosebumps, Horrors of the Witch House, number 1. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Urban Legends, number 12. Transformers, number 4. And you got unlimited funds, a jet-set lifestyle, and extraordinary abilities, and your bloodstream is filled with nanobombs. The contents of a syringe will deactivate them for a week and also wipe out your memory. So what happens when you develop a sneaking suspicion that you're actually working for the bad guys? Find out in Eve Stranger, number 1. American Mythology Productions, Black Hammer, 45, number 3. Disney Frozen Reunion Road, number 3. Terminator, Sector War, number 4 of 4. From Zenoscope, Britannia, number 1. Ninja K, number 1. And in the year 4002, a cyborg samurai named Rai struggles to find his mortality while the nanite-filled super soldier Bloodshot is on a mission to save the citizens of Earth. Will they work together for the greater good? All signs point to no. Oh, and did we mention there are also dinosaurs on the loose and powerful animal-human hybrid mutants? Good luck with that, Ray. Love smart sci-fi and engrossing world-building? Then check out Fallen World, 1 of 5. Over at Image, it's Eclipse number 15, Gogor number 1, Walking Dead with the palindromic 191. Over at Danger Zone, you got Danger Doll Squad Presents Animalga Lives number 1, Vamp Blade season 4 number 1, Zombie Tramp number 59, and Vamplets have always been obsessed with their pets. But now, who can save the ponies from a new villain? Someone who is capturing the different ponies all over Gloomvania, causing chaos in their wake. Who will be able to stop them? And what secret connection do they have with the elusive Ghost Pony? Find out in Vamplets Undead Pet Society number 1.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News! Sounds wrong without... You remember Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, the best superhero film of last year? That's right, I said it.
Geniuses Phil Lord, Chris Miller, they produced it. It was able to snag an Oscar for, you know, best animated film. Should have been best picture, in my opinion, but what are you going to do? And they proved that Sony could still do some creatively fulfilling stuff with Marvel characters under their belt. And now, get ready for more Marvel stuff from Sony, because it's happening whether you care or not. Lord and Miller have signed a new 5-year overall deal with Sony Pictures TV, a 9-figure deal that will let them create and develop comedy and drama projects for the studio. But the key thing here is they'll be involved in the development of, quote, a suite of television series from Sony's Marvel characters. Now, it sounds like they're going to be working on characters from the Marvel films, and they're going to be producing projects spun off from Venom, Black Cat, Morbius, and, you know, of course, maybe some other folks from Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. And all of those are going to become so freaking popular that Disney's going to have to buy Sony as well, because really, in the end, there can be only one. Okay, so dig this. Samsung, you've got all kinds of products of theirs. They're known for all kinds of stuff, including TVs, and now they have the Cero, that's S-E-R-O, a 43-inch TV that was designed with millennials in mind, because they also think that anyone under 30 is a millennial. It's a TV that pivots between horizontal and vertical orientations, which, yes, let me say that again, a vertical TV. Now, they say that most mobile content is vertical, so the Samsung Cero is designed to encourage young people to project more of their smartphone stuff onto their TV by allowing it to turn and go vertical, throwing in a 4.1 channel 60-watt speakers along with an integrated navy stand and a minimalist rear design. Samsung hopes this TV will function as both a music streaming hub and a handsome piece of furniture. If you're not using it as a regular TV or a phone enlarger, it can also be a huge digital photo frame or a music visualizer. And of course, Samsung's Bixby voice assistant will be on hand too. They plan to put the Cero on sale for about $1,600 in its home market of South Korea at the end of this month, because it's now a new month. So right now we're in a weird middle ground between a concept and a real product. Opening a pop store in Seoul today and showing off the Cero alongside its existing Serif and Frame TV lines, they're adding this so-called lifestyle TV lineup. So will millennials warm to the expanded flexibility, or will they feel subtly attacked for Cero exposing the intensity of their, okay, all of ours, smartphone addiction? Look, Samsung, let's be completely honest. No one wants a vertical TV. Okay, well, they want it about as much as they want your flippin' Bixby. Only Bixby we want is Bill. Word. An international team of astronomers has identified the ancient remains of a nova inside of a galactic globular cluster. Using the Very Large Telescope's MUSE instrument, scientists located the deceased stellar core glowing near the center of a globular cluster, Messier 22, which is found inside of the constellation Sagittarius, 10,600 light-years from Earth. When a nova is ignited, the hydrogen explodes off the surface of the star, leaving behind a brighter stellar envelope. The brightness of the remnant left behind of a nova can last for several centuries, and astronomers estimate this particular nova was initially spotted some 2,000 years ago. Because the nova explosion was so powerful, it is large. It boasts a diameter 8,000 times the distance between Earth and the Sun, but light and sparse. The nova boasts a mass just 30 times greater than the Earth, and this is all fascinating. It's cool to see something that old. I mean, 2,000-year-old nova? I had no idea the show was going on for that long. Try the veal. The vice president of a Jersey Shore amusement park says a roller coaster is safe more than a week after two test dummies fell out of it and crashed into the roof of a nearby hotel. Now, why we didn't hear about this before, I don't know, but on April 20th at Playland's Castaway Cove in Ocean City, New Jersey, the Gale Force roller coaster was undergoing a routine safety check when two water-filled dummies fell off the ride and plummeted into the ebb tide suites next door, damaging shingles and plywood. No one was hurt during the incident. A roofer responded to the scene within an hour to make repairs, and the test dummies were trashed, which is sad because it wasn't their fault. Although Brian Hetley, the vice president of the theme park, is like, look, they had leaks, which went undetected, and their loss of mass and shape caused them to fall. He also said, look, the ride is 100% safe. Don't even worry about this. The lap bar did not fail. Nothing failed on the ride. The Gale Force undergoes about 2 hours of testing every day that it's in operation has been open since the incident. Safety is our top priority, he said. It's something we do every single day. We're checking the rides in and out. We're going to have to do a better job at checking those tubes and making sure there's no leaks, obviously, before we send them out. So crash test dummies with leaks that flew off of a roller coaster, they wouldn't stay put in their seats? I mean, they couldn't quite explain it. They'd always just been there. That's for the three people to get that. And we could have talked about this yesterday, but the news kept going back and forth about what actually happened. But now we do have to say that 51-year-old Oscar-nominated filmmaker John Singleton was taken off of life support after suffering a stroke and has passed away. He was hospitalized April 20th at Cedars-Sinai and put into a medically induced coma several days afterwards. The director's family did confirm that they decided to take him off of life support. Singleton suffered from high blood pressure throughout his life, which is one of the leading causes of his stroke. Feature film debut in 1991 with Boys in the Hood. And of course, he made Poetic Justice, Higher Learning, Shaft, which I was delighted to discover was a sequel and not a remake, Rosewood, Four Brothers, Too Fast, Too Furious, and Baby Boy. Most recently, he shifted to TV, doing things on American Crime Story, The People vs. O.J. Simpson, Empire, and co-creating FX's Snowfall, which was brilliant. The family says details about his memorial services will be provided at a later date. All we got to say is, man, thank you for everything you did. We absolutely enjoyed your work, and you, sir, will definitely be missed. GRD is licensed under Creative Commons Attributions Non-Commercial Non-Derivative Works 9 States 3.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook and Twitter. And, you know, on Facebook, we've got this Geek Radio Daily group now. Turns out the page itself, you don't always see stuff. But if you want to see all the stuff we put up, which is the notes from the show and other various things that we have found, that's always fun and interesting to watch, like that horrible Sonic the Hedgehog trailer. Wow. Come on in on the Facebook and join the group. You'll have a fantastic time with us. Or write us a note. Tell us why not. Tell us, or, you know, guess the whole Chad and Abby thing. It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, you can send a voicemail number. Well, you can send a voicemail to the number of
510-GRD-CROW.
And I'll see if we can't get a competent person to come do the show with us again tomorrow. Won't that be great? I think so.
Well, that went well.
You are all weirdos.
Good night, suckers.
I got responsibilities now.
Sponsorabilities?
That means I'm not allowed to have fun anymore for the rest of my life.
This has to be the last box. Look at it.
I can't take any more of this. Boxes inside boxes. Whatever is in that better be worth a fortune.
Maybe it's not a box at all. Maybe it's just a block of stainless steel. Eckhart's last little joke.
It'd be a good one.
Let's channel some of that high wit into the job.
Again, I can't believe a little crumb like that can stand up to this cram jack all duty vice.
Monthly. One, two, and three.
Sorry, Andrew. That
down boxes!
Down boxes!